Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharni Nirvisesa Sanyavadi Paskyachade Satani. So welcome to Bhagavad Gita class this evening here in New Dwarka. My wife and I were visiting here just for a few days on our way to India by way of Honolulu Temple. We'll be stopping in Hawaii for a few weeks where I'm on the temple board there, so we're going to spend a little time there. And then we're going to Vrindavan for festival. this year, 2015, on Ram Naomi, will mark the 40th anniversary of the grand opening of Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan. Prabhu, he was here with the computer. I did bring, he got the disc, which shows Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan at that time, which we were going, I don't know, he said he was having difficulty with it. We wanted to have a audio-visual presentation. If he gets it started, we'll have the visuals. You'll be able to see Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan at that time in 1975. Yes? Okay. So, yes, this is Prabhupada doing Aratik. Okay. Yes. Could you work it maybe? Somebody has to control the videos and turn it off and on when. And I guess the reason I'm doing this and we're doing this, I guess then just the visuals. And we can just let it play through. I was fortunate enough to be with Srila Prabhupada at this time. I first went with Prabhupada to Vrindavan during Kartik of 1972, before they had even broken ground for Krishna Balaram Mandir. So at that time, Srila Prabhupada stayed in the Srila Prabhupada, and you see on his right with the little recorder there, that's me, 1975. And Brahmananda on the other side, who was his secretary at that time. So we're a servant and secretary. Yes. So this, of course, again, Prabhupada being there in 1972, one of Prabhupada's many desires, his dreams. This temple in Vrindavan was, as Prabhupada would say, most important temple. Srila Prabhupada would often use this phrase, most important, but it never meant that anything else was less important. It was to emphasize, and it was his way of saying, very, very, very important. It's most important. But this in particular was most important temple for Srila Prabhupada. And the way that I can understand this is because his personal presence there in overseeing. This was the only temple where Srila Prabhupada sat on a day-to-day basis in 1974. I was also with him at that time in August, September of 1974 when they were hoping to have the opening of Krishna Balaram Mandir, but nothing wasn't ready. There were many delays. So he was there at that time, and again, I never saw him anywhere where he supervised what was going on. So he took a great personal interest in seeing that everything was pukka, first class. Everything had to be first class, because this wasn't a temple in the U.S. or Europe where people really had no understanding of Vaishnava culture, Vaishnava temples. This was Vrindavan. So this was Srila Prabhupada's statement for the whole world. And for everyone in Vrindavan, where he had spent so many years, from in the early 60s, where Prabhupada was known at that time. Of course, he was known as being a very saintly sannyasi sadhu, lived at Radha Damodar. And when he left there, which is also coming up, 50th anniversary, that will be coming up within the next few months, when Prabhupada left Vrindavan and came to America. So that's 50 years ago. So when he left Vrindavan, no one thought that Prabhupada would return. They thought at best he would make it to the USA. At worst, he might die on the boat on the way to America, which actually he did suffer heart attacks on the Jaladuta. So many people thought that was it. They would never see him again. So not only did they see him again, but 1967, 1968, 1970, 1971. Now he has Vaishnava disciples from the West, from Europe and America. This was just completely unheard of. No one had ever seen such a thing. White people, Prabhupada said, his dancing white elephants. And we were, you can see, I guess we can go on, all these people around them, all these Westerners. People would just stop to look. Who are these people dressed as Vaishnavas? Look at this. This was just completely, it was a show in itself. If nothing happened for the Indian population anywhere in India, and particularly in Vrindavan, this was amazing enough that he had all these white people surrounding him, completely surrendered, following his every move. So this went on each year. When I was first with him, 1972, look at these streets. Nothing looks like this in Vrindavan nowadays. It's very hard to find such an atmosphere. Vrindavan has become so developed because of Srila Prabhupada traveling around the world, creating Vaishnavas everywhere. So this is the side gate, front gate. You can see the construction going on. So, and you can see it's this point, it was finished and ready. And originally the temple, which money was an issue, most of the money was raised by Guru Kripa. Srita Kirti remembers. Most of the money was raised by Guru Kripa and others. So it was done the way it was done to look very nice. And you can see the doors were very, very beautiful. Again, Prabhupada oversaw even what the doors were like. That's Dinanath Prabhu, amazing kirtan leader. I think that's Satsarup Maharaj there. I can't tell from this angle. Murli Prabhu and Bhardaraj Prabhu painting the lions surrounding Srila Prabhupada's Vyasasan. So Srila Prabhupada was there giving instruction for everything. He put his best people in the deities, all of the deities. So you had Gurnatai, Krishna Balaram, Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta, Radha Shyama Sundar. So Bhardaraj Prabhu, who was one of the BBT artists, he was also the one who went to learn how to do the doll making. If you look in the exhibits here, Bhardaraj Prabhu, he was instrumental. He was in charge of the Fate Museum doing that. So he was also staying in Jayapur, helping, making sure that the deities were just what Srila Prabhupada wanted, him and a few others. They were saying bigger eyes. They were watching him polish. What did he tell us about Srila Prabhupada? When they were carving Srila Prabhupada and polishing, all of a sudden Prabhupada had a big mark on his forehead. He said, like Gorbachev, He had this big red mark, so they had to start all over. Everything had to be perfect. This is what Prabhupada wanted. He wanted perfection because this was his temple in Vrindavan, Krishna's home. So there wasn't any room for anything less than the best. So everything was done in brick. And then over the brick, of course, they put the masonry, concrete, and polished. And then over that was marble dust. So it was all the temple, the entire temple was finished in marble dust. And that dust was done in different colors. Originally, when they did it, the idea was you would never have to paint the temple itself. Of course, since then, over the years, they've painted different colors. But it had a very all pastel, pastel blue, pastel pink. Very, very beautiful it was. And finally, when it came to the time in 1975, so this was Ram Naomi, I guess it was in April, huh? It was in April. And so Prabhupada was there the weeks leading up to the opening. And he had all his, you know, most responsible people, all of his GBCs were there. But no one had a title. Everyone just had a lot of service. But Gunarnava, he was instrumental in the construction along with Sarabi. But Prabhupada put all of his big, big leaders at that time, Hansaduda, Bhavananda, Rameshwar, whoever it was, they were in charge, which at that time in charge meant you worked. You didn't just have people you gave, you do this, you do. It meant you were responsible for doing things. Like Bhavananda, Prabhupada knew Bhavananda, he was clean. He was like Mr. Clean. In Mayapur, Prabhupada knew the lotus building was spotless all of the time. He was expert in seeing everything. So he was in charge of that. Another one, Jayatirtha, he would be in charge of the deities. He was, of course, in New York at that time. So he was expert pujari. So Prabhupada placed all the different, his disciples, his leaders, in all these different posts. He didn't do this anywhere else. This was here in Vrindavan. Huh? Everything had to be just right. And prasadam. When I was there with Prabhupada in his room, he was constantly ringing the bell. Huh? I was his servant, so the method of communication at that time wasn't texting. I didn't get a text from Prabhupada. You know, saying, come here now. But he would ring his bell, you go in the room, offer obeisances, and he would say, get me Surab, get me Gunarnava, get Jayatir. That was it. Then you would bring him in, and Prabhupada would give instructions. So as the opening was approaching, this was happening more and more often, as everything had to be ready in time. So then he would call in one, and I'm not sure how many, probably several hundred of his disciples there from the West, from all the Western countries. And amongst everything else, there was the temple, but then there was his disciples coming. So that was also something to be taken care of, that everyone had to have somewhere to stay comfortably. Prabhupada, very often he would say, you Westerners, you're used to your comforts. So he wanted us to be comfortable. In fact, here in Mayapur, in Bombay, the first thing Prabhupada built were guest houses, not a temple. First he built guest houses, and they were not for guests, they were for his disciples, so that they could live nicely and perform their service. So for this opening, it was the same thing. He wanted to see everyone had a nice place to stay and everyone had first-class prasadam. He would say everyone must have milk. This was his concern. There was no detail that he didn't take care of. And he would say cow's milk because, of course, in India, buffalo milk was all over, but that was never to be taken. So he would say all of his disciples. So every little detail, he didn't miss anything. He was most wonderful, caring, and at the same time such expert at management. And I remember the The one who is, these are the Brahmins, huh? You can see all the processes. That's his sister, who we called Auntie Pishima. Her name was Baba Tarini. I never even knew her name was Baba Tarini until, 10 years ago or so. But we all thought she was Pishima, which means Auntie. So that was Prabhupada's sister. So you can see all these people attending. And then knowing what Vrindavan was like and what all the Goswamis were like, you could see that for all of this for Prabhupada was like just to put a show on for the locals. Because if everything wasn't done to what they considered nice, they wouldn't consider it a bona fide temple. He said, as far as we're concerned, he said, we can just sit, chant Hare Krishna, and have our deity installation. But he knew the atmosphere there was such that everything had to be done according to certain standards so that it would be accepted as a bona fide Krishna temple. And Prabhupada was so aware of the local inhabitants, the sadhus, the Goswamis with their temples, that he even would call me into his room when his sister was with him. She would come in. She was very attached. There's Srila Prabhupada's Murti. What is this here? This is Krishna Balaram and Radhashyama. So, and you can see the eyes. Prabhupada wanted very big lotus eyes. So he was so concerned that we were taken seriously, everyone was taken seriously, that even when his sister was in the room, Prabhupada would ring the bell. And I would come in, offer obeisances before his sitting place. And yes, he'd say, sit down. He said, even she's my sister, because she was a woman. He said, even she's my sister. He said, they will talk. But this is how aware he was. It means they would talk that he's sitting alone with another woman. So he said, you have to sit. If she's here, you're here. That way he wasn't alone with his little sister. But this is how conscious Prabhupada was of presenting the proper image to everyone. This is his sitting place. Those curtains, they just took down, huh? A long time ago. Yes. So you can see around the temple is still, there was a lot of construction going on, but the temple was ready. That Surab just behind him, tall, you can see his head right there. And this is the first Aratik ceremony. Look at his, you could see just the happiness, the ecstasy. Probably look at the And Brahmananda and I are right there. Brahmananda, he's assistant pujari, handing Prabhupada the instruments, and he's doing the Krishna Balaram. So why, in Vrindavan, so many Radha Krishna temples, and Radha Krishna is there, but why is this Krishna Balaram temple? Why did Prabhupada put Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan? Why didn't he just have Radha Krishna temple? Like the thousands of others, Radha Krishna temple. Anyone have anyone read in Shastra and letters why Prabhupada added Krishna Balaram? Of course, it was Raman Reti. Any ideas, anyone? No? Shastra Krit? Yes, Mataji? Yes, he said a few things. Prabhupada kind of gave the exoteric and esoteric explanations for why Krishna Balaram Mandir is there. One simple reason he gave when, in a letter to one devotee who wanted to install deities, and they were going to install, he said, we have Krishna Balaram deities like in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada just said, no. He said, we've done that, he said, in Vrindavan. He said, because there's so many Radha Krishna temples. He said, so Krishna Balaram temple, that was unique. And it is to this day, it's unique. So he said, but otherwise, he said, our program was always, he said, Gaur Nitai, Radha Krishna, Jagannath. He said, that was Prabhupada's standard for ISKCON at that time. And the other explanation, of course, which is on a higher level, is when you come in to the temple after darshan, what do? You come in, of course, Srila Prabhupada is on his Vyasasan. Then you take the blessings out of mercy of Shishi Gaur Nitai. Then again, in their forms of Krishna Balaram, you're getting benedicted by Krishna Balaram. And then finally, Radha Shyama Sundar. So it was in order to enable us to take darshan. That's Bhavananda on one side and me on the other. And Prabhupada, he's speaking now. So this was a very wonderful day, huh? From Prabhupada staying in a little two rooms at Radha Damodar, where at that time he was paying like 20 rupees a month. Initially, to live at Radha Damodar temple. Now, here's Srila Prabhupada with his Krishna Balaram Mandir. And during the construction, I remember the last days, Prabhupada's morning walk, half of his morning walk consisted of walking around, all around the temple property, all around the temple building itself, looking at the walls, giving instructions, looking at the way the doors, incredible doors, they stand, they'll stand there for hundreds of years. These doors are so wonderful. So the doors are there. He would have Surab there. He would be telling him, do this, do this. It was not an easy thing. 1974, 1973, 1975, having this temple built with Westerners. They were living there on the land, just with little, thatched roof huts. They had no place where they were living. They were just living right on the property. They were doing work themselves. They were overseeing the workers. And, of course, Prabhupada was always concerned, because as Westerners, we didn't understand the ways in India very well. And he would say we were always getting cheated. Very often we would get cheated, because to us everything was cheap. Prabhupada used that expression in his room there at Radha Damodar. And at that time his temple president was Gurudas, and Prabhupada was talking about something, and Gurudas said, oh, Prabhupada, cheap. It's cheap. We can get that. It's cheap. And Prabhupada laughs. He says, damn cheap, Baba. So this was an expression in India. There were Westerners in India, that was damn cheap. Whatever it was to us, we thought it was cheap. Even we were paying 10, 20 times what a local was. Well, that was a few dollars, huh, for this. Everything was a few dollars, so it was cheap. So Prabhupada always criticized that, huh, that mentality. Because he was, I looked in the diary for today, Prabhupada's diary for 1966. And Prabhupada said, received three letters. He said who the letters were from. And then he said, no income. Expenditure, $1. Prabhupada recorded. You look at his diary, other days you'll see salt, 5 cents. Butter, 47 cents. Every penny that was being spent, Prabhupada was recording it. So he was careful all the time with every penny that was being spent. So you can imagine the tolerance Prabhupada had with us Westerners, as they were spending lakhs of rupees. And Prabhupada was trying to control it, make sure we didn't spend too much. So then the person who I had to call the most, of course, during this time was Surabhi. He was Surabhi Swami at that time, Surab. Because he was the overall manager, and he was the designer, the designer of the temple, the architect, and he saw that everything was happening. So many times during the day, Srila Prabhupada would call him about different things in the temple. Now imagine, this is just days before the temple's supposed to open, and there's still so many things to do. Now Prabhupada, he's living in his quarters, which are there, Srila Prabhupada's quarters, right next to the temple. So the one time I call him in, and I would, of course, get the person, and I would come in the room, and somehow or other I would be sitting down, so he would call Surab in. So now all these instructions Prabhupada's giving him to get this temple ready on time. But he's living in his room, and his room is like 90% complete. His garden is not done at all. It's all just sand, you know, dirt, fine dirt. But in his quarters, things are pretty good. But this one day, Prabhupada says, get Surab. It's a Koyananda. So we get Surab, and we go into the room. And Prabhupada says to him, I don't have a toilet seat. So in Prabhupada's bathroom, where he lived, the toilet was there. It was a Western-style toilet, but there was no seat on it. So Prabhupada said, I need a toilet seat. Now imagine, he was getting ready to open this temple. And he's in charge of everything. So Prabhupada said, I need a toilet seat. He said, because I have to sit. You know, Prabhupada was almost 80 years old. He didn't squat on an Indian style. He sat on. So he said, but I need the seat. So Surab said, yes, Prabhupada, we can. And he said, right away. Which meant, you know, you didn't go. There wasn't any Home Depot down anywhere in India, and even Delhi. You just didn't get a toilet seat. So he said, Surab said, I'll have one of the mysteries. Carpenters, one of the mysteries. Carvers. They're carving. Everything's being done by hand tools. Chip, 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 chip. I'll get him to make one. So, okay, didn't sound that bad. So over the next 3 days, Prabhupada had me call him again and again and again for the toilet seat. This is while all of this was going on. There's a lot of instruction here. Prabhupada always wanted us to know what our position was as servant. We were simply his servant. No one was big, big devotee. We're all just tiny, tiny servants. And Surab was saying, we're trying to get it done. And, of course, the mystery had a carpenter, the carver of this seat. He understands this seat is for Guru Maharaj. This is for... So he's, for him, this is like carving the deity. He's making a seat, but he's making it for Prabhupada. So it wasn't a small thing for him. This was like a kind of an ecstasy. So he's trying to make the perfect seat out of wood. He's carving it out of wood, sanding and carving. So this went on for a few days. And I felt so sorry for Surab because these devotees, my god brothers, god sisters, they weren't sleeping, you know, because they had to get this temple. But he kept coming back, and he was so, he never... Prabhupada would say whatever, if he yelled, whatever he did, Surab would just shake his head and he would go back and please, please, hurry, hurry, you have to get it done. Anyway, finally they got it done. What was interesting was just to see Prabhupada's mood and how he dealt with all this, you know. And I remember after everything was finished, just like on the morning walk, after days of the installation, opening up the temple, and we were on a morning walk, and we were walking around the temple, and it was beautiful. It was the most beautiful temple in all of Vrindavan. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj Goswami, he said, and Surab was there, I was there, so many, and dozens of us were there on the morning walk. And Tamal Krishna Goswami said, Prabhupada, he said, Surab, he's made such a beautiful temple. It's such a wonderful temple. And Prabhupada, and we're all there, and Surab is there, and Prabhupada just smiled. He said, yes. He said, everyone is telling me how wonderful Surab is done. He said, but all I do is chastise him. He said, but that's my duty. as his spiritual master. Let's see if he's on the walk there. So, yeah, there he is in white on the end, on the left side. So, but all of these devotees, they were so instrumental in performing this. So this year, of course, if you get the opportunity to be there, you have to come. Huh? What is it? March 24th for the 5 days, big festival. So many devotees will be there. They're trying to get so many who were there doing the building. And if you're unable to be there, you'll be able to see it, I'm sure, on Vrindavan Live or Mayapur Live TV. Look at this. This is, at the time, I believe this road was Chittakara Road. Now, of course, it's Bhaktivedanta Swami Marg, and as all you see are buildings everywhere. Buildings. As when this temple was built, there was nothing there. Ramanreti was just fields, forests, Vrindavans. It was just like this everywhere. 1972, 1973. When the land was donated, it was just a big open piece of land. On either side of the street there, there was nothing at all. This chatter I have. That's another story. I've told that story. That's Rameshwar behind him, with the short hair, Paramahamsa. Anyway, so many devotees were all taking part in this. And by Prabhupada's mercy, they're all great benedictions. This was the most wonderful thing that Prabhupada did, this temple in Vrindavan. And of course now every day, thousands of people are taking darshan, taking prasadam. And this was also Prabhupada's spiritual vision. As Westerners sometimes, and as Western devotees, we have this idea that someone comes into the temple, somehow or other you have to get them to move into the temple, shave their heads, or surrender to the philosophy, surrender to Krishna consciousness. But Prabhupada had very broad vision. He wasn't small-minded. Prabhupada said, if they come to this temple, he said they take darshan of the deities, they offer their obeisances to the deities. He said they take prasadam from the deities. He said their spiritual life has begun. Very simple. So this is, but beautiful. You know, for some of us, it's almost very difficult to understand what's happened in Vrindavan. Oh, peacocks were everywhere. And of course, monkeys are always there. The cows are there. But now it's like a small city, and it just keeps growing and growing and growing. So to feel the same, have the same feeling for Vrindavan, you definitely need to have a spiritual vision. You have to be very transcendental. And Prabhupada was that transcendental person. He said, when you can't see Vrindavan, how real Vrindavan, he said, without that transcendental vision. He said, it's non-different from Vrindavan. He said, but it is replica. So, it's the same, of course, is different. But for a pure devotee, there's no difference. Huh? Vrindavan here, Goloka Vrindavan, Gokul Vrindavan, no difference. Even you can see also, when they show Prabhupada's feet, you see him has his, he has his shoes on. Many of his disciples are wearing shoes. Huh? Yeah. So one devotee asked Prabhupada about that. Huh? Should we, you know, because locals, many days you can't wear, you know, you don't wear shoes in the Dham. Yeah. Going around Govardhan, 15 miles walking around. Because you have to do it barefoot, walking around in Vrindavan. So one devotee at this time, they asked Prabhupada about that. He said, Prabhupada's response, he said, you follow in my footsteps. So you have to look at his footsteps and see what he was doing. So, but you see, Prabhupada's in ecstasy. was always in ecstasy. But this was very wonderful. Huh? This was a great success. Prabhupada was so happy to have this. And if you're fortunate, you've been there recently or will be going there, you'll see how nicely this property has become nicer, nicer. Panchagoda Prabhu, our godbrother, my godbrother and friend, very close friend. He's been president there now for some years. And he's made so many nice improvements there. We have Balaram Hall for lectures, the big Prasadam Pavilion, Krishna Hall it's called now. They're developing the gates. They have beautiful gates, entrance gates. The whole front, they've cleared out a series of stores that have been there for 30 years with different people in there. So it's all becoming very, very nice. He's keeping it so nice. And this is all due to all the well-wishers of Vrindavan, people giving so many donations to just keep it a most wonderful place. So this is all during the opening session. There's Tamal Krishna directly behind him. Yes. Yeah. Does anyone have any questions? Anything? We have some time. Comments? Yes.
How often?
That's hard to say. Once a devotee, there's Bhagavan there, and there was a picture of Prabhupada. Once a devotee was looking at, and in the picture, Prabhupada looked very grave, very serious, maybe even angry. And the devotee said that, Prabhupada, you look very, you know, very grave. And Prabhupada said, oh, he said, I was very happy. So externally it's very difficult to tell what Prabhupada, but he smiled. Prabhupada smiled a lot. When he was with his disciples, all the morning walks, there would always be times Prabhupada would be laughing because he would tell different stories. He was always giving instruction, but it didn't mean that it was serious, but within the seriousness it could also be very humorous, Prabhupada. So, and since you asked, I mean, it was the quality that I liked the most about Prabhupada was his humor and his ability to laugh and laugh with such, with so much energy. I mean, when he laughed, Prabhupada, as we say in this country, you know, knee slapper. Sometimes when Prabhupada was sitting, he would literally slap his knee. He would laugh so hard, he would cry. And when it was one of the first things I saw in a meeting with Prabhupada, right there in his garden, right here in New Dwarka, when Prabhupada, I was reading Krishna book to him, and he started laughing and laughing and laughing. And we're all sitting there listening to Krishna book story, but he was right there in Krishna book, you know. So when he heard Krishna Balaram killing a demon, you know, whether it was, you know, ripping heads off, blood flying, Prabhupada would laugh and laugh and laugh. He would just be so ecstatic. And when I saw that, I thought, you know, this is Krishna consciousness, you know. The serious part, you know, for me has always been difficult. But that happy joyousness in Krishna consciousness that he exhibited, you know. I mean, I would have to say every day you could see him smiling, you know. You could also see very serious. I mean, giving class, Bhagavatam class. But even then sometimes, you know. And sometimes he would say something in a class and the devotees would laugh. And Prabhupada said, no, not funny. So you had to know when a laugh was appropriate. Because even if something sounded funny, didn't mean it was funny. Mm-hmm. He had a very particular sense of humor. Yes, Prabhu?
Was the Prabhupada mood more, what was the mood like? Was he more conservative, serious?
Yes, all of those. He is a person. Prabhupada's a person. He had all the different moods were there at different times. I mean, do you meet it at a specific time or in general? Yeah. Yeah, anything. You know, the mood in the temple room was generally very serious because that was Guru Puja's going on. You didn't see Prabhupada laughing while everyone's offering him Guru Puja during class when he's trying to, you know, instruct us in Krishna consciousness, you know, beat it into our dull brains, you know, that we're not this body, we're servants of Krishna, which he repeated over and over and over. You know, thousands and thousands of times to surrender to Krishna. But, you know, my vision was always very different because even though I was there, I was sitting there for classes so many times, almost 2.5 years. So that was a lot of classes. You went to class every day. If you traveled with Prabhupada, you were at class, every class. There was no excuse not to be at a class. You were attended all the kirtans. You were on every morning walk because he expected, he demanded, you know, that you take advantage of his association. It wasn't that he was just there, he did what you wanted, you know. So he expected to see you at class. The servant before me, I was here in L.A. when I received Brahman initiation in the temple room. Over there, when I got Brahman initiation, second initiation. And so I was here for a week, and I remember, because I was with Kirtanananda, who was one of his very early disciples, his first sannyasi, I would get to go into Prabhupada's room right after class. So it was class. Right after class was prasadam. So now, if you're his servant, you're responsible for preparing his prasadam. So I was in the room, and there were a few of us in the room, and his servant came in with the plate. So the plate had fruit, maybe yogurt or milk, a few sandesh. Breakfast was very simple. Just a variety of local fruits, whatever there was, a sweet and some milk or yogurt. So he came in. He put the plate down, and before he could even put the plate down, Prabhupada was yelling at him, "Why weren't you at class?" And Prabhupada, he didn't miss anything. Prabhupada saw everything, everyone, you know. You would think he maybe would miss things. He didn't miss anything that I ever saw. So why weren't you at class? So now at this time I'm in the movement now, ISKCON, for 1 year, pretty much exactly 1 year. And I'm 20 years old, I'm a brahmachari, and I'm seeing what he's and listening. And his servant started making an excuse, which I knew, I thought, wow, that can't be good, you know. I knew that much, that this is your spiritual master, he's good as God. This, you don't give him excuses or reasons, even if you want to call it a good reason, you don't do it. So he said, "I was preparing your breakfast." And Prabhupada looked at him. He said, "Cutting fruits?" He said, "No one else can do that. You have to cut the fruits," he said. So he said, "Your business is to be a class every day." And I remembered all of that when I became a servant. I never missed a class. Never, ever. I may not have paid attention all the time when I was sitting there. I tried to, but certainly wouldn't miss a class or a morning walk, anything, because it just was, you know, destined to get chastised. And even Prabhupada said, the disciple, Prabhupada himself said, when he was chastised by his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said he was happy. But I was not advanced. When Prabhupada chastised me, I was not happy. I was very unhappy. And I'd be in total anxiety. And I would never give. If he said, "Why did you do?" I would just go quiet. Because I knew anything I said, he would find fault in it. So I never knew what to say. So I didn't say anything. And that pretty much, he didn't get, you know, chastised too long because of that. Prabhupada, again, up in his room, I saw Prabhupada very happy, amazingly very peaceful. It was hard to see that he had thousands of disciples, over 100 temples, and managing devotees all over the world, because he'd be up there chanting rounds, doing bhajans, taking prasadam, take a little rest after lunch. It was just, you know, translating his books every night, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. But he did it with such ease. And to me, Prabhupada, when he was in his room, became almost a different person. Like, well, everything he did outside of his room, that was his service to his guru, huh? Accepting disciples, training them up, traveling around the world, making temples, bringing the holy name to every town and village. But then when he was in his room, he was like this very peaceful, childlike devotee of Krishna. He would read his books. I always found that the most wonderful thing. Prabhupada sitting, reading his books, like a very attentive disciple would read his books. He read them with great relish. He read them with the understanding and the feeling that they were Krishna's books. They weren't his books. He never read them and thought, well, I've, you know, written really nice. This is very good. He read them and relished them. And from the beginning, when I read Krishna book to him, Prabhupada enjoyed Krishna book, I would say, more than anyone, because he loved Krishna, huh? And it was all real. It was right there. So that was, you know, so all these different moods were there in Srila Prabhupada. But what I appreciated the most was that very sweetness. Of being a devotee. Prabhupada was a devotee. He was a disciple of his spiritual master, and he was self-realized soul, and he was very happy, always talking about Krishna. You listen to his lectures, you hear the audios or the videos, and two things to me always become prominent: Prabhupada's love of Krishna and his the importance of giving it to everyone, the urgency. I always hear urgency in Prabhupada's voice when he speaks, like he knows he has to get this information out as much as possible, as often as possible, as long as he can. So there's this urgency that he wants to give Krishna. So that was also there, one of his mood, the mood of urgent. Urgent, you take this message. Jai, as our Krishna Balaram. So we're very eager to go there, because you go to Vrindavan, and I mean, when I come here to New Dwarka, I see Rukmini Dwarkadish and Gurnatai, most beautiful deities, and very merciful, very beautiful. When you go to Vrindavan, you'll just fall in love with Radha Shyama Sundar, Krishna Balaram. They're these very wonderful transcendental boys who they own Vrindavan, this Krishna Balaram. And you go there, they're going to steal your heart away. Anyone else? Any ladies? Mataji, yes.
Mm-hmm. And because, like you were saying, how Vrindavan's changed so mm-hmm. much. And I'm also speaking on this tape as well. And I'll just say a little part of what I'm saying on this tape is that with so much going on, like you were saying, Prabhupada was you know, the master of ceremonies and his godbrothers were there and these...
The conductor, huh? It was like the maestro, spiritual maestro.
So much going on and, you know, all these devotees coming from all over and making sure that the devotees were taken care of, making sure that everything's pukka, you know, because we're being judged, you know, by the residents of Vrindavan about if this is bona fide.
Yes.
And in amongst all of that, here I'm coming from the West, and I had just been at my parents' house, and they knew I was going to Vrindavan to see Srila Prabhupada. And my mother, who was so sweet, she said, "What can I give you to give your spiritual master from me?" And I said, "Oh, that's so sweet. I don't know." And she goes, "Well, can I make him some guava jam?" Because she had fruit trees in the yard. And I said, "Yes, that would be very nice to make him that." So she packed up a little jar for me. And I brought that to Vrindavan. And so I went to Srila Prabhupada's quarters to give it to him. And the servant, you know, opened the door, and I saw in there just a sea of saffron, all the sannyasis. And so I didn't want to enter, and I just handed it in. So later, Srila Prabhupada, you know, received it, and he sent all these brahmacharis and his servants out to find me. Well, they didn't know who I was. And for 2 days they were searching for me because of all the devotees there. And Prabhupada was, "Did you find her?" You know, "No." And they go back out again. Finally they found me. And they wanted my mother and my father's address so that Srila Prabhupada could write a thank you letter.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't miss anything. At the littlest detail, yes.
Yeah, and... Yes. He told the devotees when he received that were in the room, he says, "Guava jam. My mother used to make me guava jam."
Mm-hmm.
So he really appreciated and wrote my parents a letter. Amazing.
Hare Krishna, wonderful thing. We have a few minutes. Anyone else?
Did they finish the toilet seat?
Yes, he did. I believe it's still there. It was just so amazing amongst so many things. It you know, also became a thing. But for him, and I guess that was a thing as well, to realize, you know, everything is important. There's no, and Prabhupada would say that, you know, there's nothing that's less important, you know. It was Satsrup Maharaj when he wrote, because he was doing his preaching programs in the colleges, and he wrote Prabhupada, because Prabhupada was sending letters to Tamal Krishna Goswami about the Radha Damodar Sankirtan party, which meant book distribution, huh? Lots of saffron cloth brahmacharis and distributing books. So Prabhupada was praising him and sending letters and saying, "Is of course most important, what you're doing is most important is Brahmananda." So in the letter, Prabhupada returned to Satsrup, that's Achyutananda. He said, "You continue what you're doing." And he said, certainly that Radha Damodar, the book distribution, is most important. He said, but preaching in the colleges is most important. He said, and the deity worship is most important. In our service, everything is important. Whatever your service is, you have to understand that's the most important thing. Huh? I was just reading a letter today. Prabhupada was, someone was asking, what is the difference, one going to Goloka Vrindavan, one going to Vaikuntha planets. And Prabhupada said, there's no difference, he said, between Goloka Vrindavan and Vaikuntha. He said, it just depends on your taste, huh? Your desire. He said, but no difference. So in that one sense, in the spiritual sense, everything is important. And it all depends on our own mood, our own desires. Who is that? That's Mahendra. He was my first temple president when I joined in Pittsburgh, 1971. And he was here in the 80s. He was BBT. He was in charge of the BBT under Rameshwar here back in the 80s. That's Paramahamsa Swami. Him and I traveled together for some time. Very wonderful traveling with him. So we need to stop here. I think it's 8 o'clock. One last thing I want to... I managed my stepdaughter, who I visited this evening, somehow or other happened to have a case of my book, What is a Difficulty? Just means 12 books were in the case. If you haven't seen it yet or read it yet and you're interested... Prabhu has them back there at the prasadam table. He's showing it right there. It speaks about my time with Srila Prabhupada. But we have to stop here. Thank you all very much for being here this evening. And I hope to see you all again and as many as possible in Vrindavan. Somehow or other. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you.